Good evening. Wasn't that wonderful praise and worship? I know some of you are still getting used to praying in tongues every service, but it's really opening up the doors and windows of heaven to pour blessings on everybody. As we pray in tongues, we hear our spiritual Father speak to us. We speak to Him in a language the devil cannot intercede with. And also the angels of God are released. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. There was this young Italian exchange student from a very wealthy family, and he came over to the United States, and he brought with him his brand new Ferrari F8. He was proud of this car. It was red, and it was fast. It could go 240 miles an hour. So he had to park in front of a store, and out walked this senior gentleman. He says, "Oh, sonny, that's a nice car you got there. What kind is it?" "Oh, it's a Ferrari F8. It's the fastest car in the world." And the senior looks inside, says, "Wow, look at all those instruments in there. Looks like an aeroplane." He says, yeah, it's something special, right? He says, "What do you drive?" He says, "I drive this moped. It's made here in the United States, and I like it a lot." Says, "Oh, okay, great." So guy gets on the moped, and the guy gets in the Ferrari and says, "I'm going to show this old man what this car could do." So he pops it off and gets up to 40 miles an hour. He knows that the guy on the moped's right beside him. He says, "How's this happening?" So he punches up a little more, gets up to 70 miles an hour. Guy's still right there beside him. He says, "What's going on here?" So I'm going to show him what this car can do. He gets out on the freeway, out on the interstate there, gets up to 100, 110, and the guy's still right beside him. He says, "This is a brand new Ferrari F8. It's the fastest car in the world. I'm going to blow this thing away." And he picks another gear, and he punches it in. It's up to 200, 210, 230, 240. And the guy is still right beside him. He's going, "What is going on? How is this happening?" So he finally pulls over and rolls down the window and starts to talk to the guy and says, Sonny, stop. Let me get my suspender off of your mirror." Praise the Lord. People want to know if God has a sense of humor. I says, "He put me and my wife together. He must really have one." So, all right, breaking curses, removing curses from your life. Remember the first song we sang, Breaking Chains? Well, that's what removing curses is all about. It's about breaking those chains off of your life, those curses that have been dragging you down for so long. So I'm going to review a bunch of it. This is part two. We're going to review a lot of this here. And then we get to some real more meat for you. Bear with me here. We're going to go over quite a bit. And then we do a little exercise at the end. Okay? So, we covered part one in module five. So, but the key to receiving healing and walking in divine health is to remove the hindrances to the flow of the anointing in one's life. That means you. One primary hindrance is unconfessed sin. And people forget about this all the time. Make it a habit to confess your sins regularly. Once you break the effects of curses and demonic strongholds, they are tied together. Now, Pastor Matthew has told the story that removing curses from his life, he gave his testimony about how God healed him from a very serious heart challenge. And when Pastor Matthew was first implementing how to remove the curse of the cardiovascular challenges that he learned at ABC, when he first arrived, he questions why it was taking so long to see improvement. Now, I'm going to encourage you now, push through. I love it when the healings are instantaneous, but too many people want the magic wand of God, and sometimes it's not there. Sometimes it's there to teach you a lesson, because you got to push through. We got to work sometimes to get our healings. There may be factors we have to do, okay? Today, Pastor Matthew is dean of our school, and probably because of all the diligence he put through in working, that's one of the reasons why he's so good at running this school. Okay? There's also the story of Pastor Sarah's mother, who was healed from terminal cancer. It was a creative miracle that took a process of time. Now, Sarah had gone approximately 27 years without doctors. Pastor Josh had gone approximately 40 years without doctors. What a blessing. But the blessing flows down to Pastor Sarah from her grandmother and her mother. Her grandmother started praying and actually written out series of scriptures. And she didn't go to a church that taught healing, but she did this. And her grandmother lived to be 89 years old. Now, that's pretty impressive. She didn't go to church to start healing, but the Holy Spirit instinctively taught her to work on healing scriptures and to carry them down. Now, from grandmother to Pastora Sarah's mother to Pastora Sarah to all of us who are like her spiritual children, that's a generational blessing. Generational blessings and generational curses go from generation to generation. Okay? We want the blessings going down to all of our generations. We want to stop the curses from going to any of our generations. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. I like the story of the pastor or Evangelist Deborah said that when you go outside in the morning, you can tell when a snail's been across your lawn because you can see the trail. Mm-hmm. Well, that's true with sin and curses. When we sin, there is an effect. There is a trail that comes behind it. What we learn in the school is important to confess our sins and get rid of them, and get rid of the curses that come behind the sin. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Now, what we're studying today reminds us that we come across traps. The key word here is traps set by the enemy through demons, devils, and evil spirits. We have a choice. We either step in the trap and sin, or learn to discern and identify those traps and sidestep around them to continue forward with our walk with God. Okay? We don't need to be stepping in any snares. We don't need to be stepping in any traps. We don't need to be going through any minefields. We have the Holy Spirit within us. And we do things right, we can avoid many of the challenges that the devil wants to put in our way. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so sections A through G are basically a review of what was covered in Module 5. So go to section A1. I don't think anybody disagree with this. Definition of sin. Any. Not some. Any. Disobedience to God or to the Word of God. B, necessary conditions. Reactions to be considered as sin before God, and thereby break your fellowship with God. These three conditions must be met. You must believe it is a sin. You must be willing to do it. It must be either physical or in your heart. And you can physically steal something, or as Jesus said, if a man lusts after a woman, he's already committed adultery. So it doesn't take the physical act, but the decisions in your heart are also sins. Okay. Section C, there are four components of sin. Even if an action is not considered sin before God, the action still produces sinful effects, which are curses. This is because any disobedience to God's words, whether known or unknown, can open the door to a spiritual attack. The spiritual attack can have four components. It breaks your fellowship with God. John 1:6-9. It opens the door to demonic attacks. John 5:1-14. It affects your body and possessions, Mark 2:1-11. It affects your relationship with others and with the world, Joshua 7:24, Romans 5:12. Okay? Now, understanding known and unknown sins. Known sins are easy. Okay? Behavior or actions which you're aware of, which you understand are sins. These include omission, commission, accidental, reflexive, deliberate, coerced, direct, or indirect. Examples are stealing, not tithing, adultery, rape, etc. Okay. I once had a boss, and his way to get business was to tell these little white lies. He walked up and says, James, it's okay to tell those little white lies. Now, I grew up in a family that told me to always speak my mind. So I says, I suppose that's true until those little white lies are being told to you, right? You know, it's okay for him to say them. He didn't want to receive them. So, you know, little white lies are not right. You know it's a sin. You know. Okay. Unknown sins. Now, unknown sins are challenged in a lot of ways. Unknown sins are something you don't know you're doing. For example, if you're driving down the freeway and your foot gets a little heavy and you're suddenly going 85 miles an hour, you didn't realize you were sinning. When you look down, you realize it was a sin. You got to back off. You still got to repent of that. But there's another type of unknown sins. These are people who do something that are so used to doing it, they've done it this way all their lives, they don't think it's a sin. Some people curse like that. It just comes out. You know, I was with this one guy, he always said, well, pardon my French, and he'd start cussing. He says, pardon my friends. I said, stop that. What do you mean? I says, you know you're going to say it. Don't just stop it. You know it's not right. And he looked at me and said, what do you mean? If you're going to say, pardon my French, you know you're going to say those words. It's not going to slip out of your tongue. You're doing it on purpose. But he was so used to saying that, and everybody's kind of letting it go by, he didn't realize that that was a sin. But it was a sin. He was cursing. He was often using the Lord's name in vain, which I really had a challenge with, you know. Unknown sins. I know some people that are challenged just to be naturally angry. Now, I don't know if they had a bad childhood. I don't know what the conditions are. But the bottom line is, when they walk around anger, or offense is a big one in the world today. People are offended at so many things, you know. But that's a sin. They may not realize it's a sin, but it is a sin, okay? So the unknown sin gets us in trouble more than the known sins. We'd have the analogy of being out in the garden digging in dirt. If you know your hands are dirty, you wash your hands. Everything comes off with them. But if you walk around the house, you may not know your hands are dirty, even if you touch something that had a bad bacteria on it or something. Okay? So you want to wash your hands periodically before you cook, even if you haven't been out playing in the yard, right? Okay? That's why we do that, because we don't know what's happening. Well, unknown sins work the same way. We got to be attuned to them, and we have to work to keep them off of our body anyway, even if we don't know we've done them. So, what are some unknown sins? Inequity. Behavior, actions which you are aware, which you believe are not sins. Okay? Anxiety, concern, keeping the Sabbath holy, giving offense. Ongoing unknown are often people who have a lot of pride. Impatience. You see that on the freeways a lot. Okay. All right. Fear, unforgiveness, bitterness, laziness, you know. And some people have pushed these things down so far, so deep, they've forgotten about them. Now, when we had the healing rooms, and I do have permission to tell this story, we had a lady come in there. And she was one of the sweetest, loveliest little grandmothers. Just wanted to hug this lady. She was just so adorable. And as we're praying for her, I got the word bitterness. And I says, are you dealing with any kind of bitterness? She goes, no, I don't have any bitterness. And to look at her, you'd never think she did. I said, okay, but I'm going to pray for you anyway, that there is some God will reveal it to you. So I did. I prayed the prayer that God revealed to her if there was any bitterness and help her get rid of it. Well, she lived about 3 miles from where we had the thing to home, and she had to stop halfway because the Lord revealed to her all this bitterness that came out of her. And it came out of her tremendously, and she stayed for like 20, 30 minutes just getting all this bitterness out of her system. She didn't realize what she was doing because the Holy Spirit was doing it for her. Now, what's important about that story is that that was on a Friday night. Monday, she was going to the hospital to have a double mastectomy. They canceled it because they couldn't find any lumps anymore because the bitterness is what caused the disease. She didn't know she had it, but it had festered there for decades, an unknown sin that she had kept down. We have to get rid of unknown sins. Now, I know people will tell me, oh, I don't ever sin, or I don't ever get offended. And they're really nice people, they're really great people. But these people are physically challenged. I'm going to ask those people to encourage you to look deep inside, let the Holy Spirit reveal to you what these challenges are, because somewhere, somehow, there's something causing these challenges, be it financial, be it physical, be it emotional, be it in your marriage, I don't care. There's some kind of sin causing these challenges. And to be honest with you, none of us have made Jesus' level yet, I don't think. If you had, raise your hand. I didn't see any go up, okay? All right, my point being is, we have to be vigilant. We don't want to be like the virgins that went out without enough oil. We don't want to be caught at a problem at a time when we need it because we're not prepared. That's what unknown sins do for us. Okay? All right, let's go on. Generational sins include the entire ancestry. One time during praying, I had to repent of murder. I thought, where is this coming from? Well, my ancestors are Italian, and some of my ancestors come from the area where Al Capone came from. So there must have been a generational curse. So I got rid of it. I didn't personally have anything to do with it, but if it's a generational curse, I don't want it on there. I don't want it around me. I don't want any challenges to come with it. I don't want that hook for the devil to use that at the right point in time to do something, okay? Sexual includes all partners and their partners plus generations. Now, we've done the math out here. If there's two partners, you go down seven levels times four generations, that's 7,680 connections. That's a lot of demonic transfer that can come into somebody. You got no idea what 7,000 people of past generations have done that can be affecting you right now. Okay? Because curses can go generation to generation, they can be affecting you. So when we do things, you may not know that there's a challenge there. But let's get it out anyway. A good example in the medical profession is they look for early signs of cancer. Now, I'm not suggesting you may go to doctors if you're not at that level. But my point is, the person that's predisposed, if they catch it early, they can solve a lot of problems for those people. Correct? Okay? They don't know. They don't naturally know they have cancer. Cancer is called the silent killer because it sneaks up on people so much. My point is, let's get any demonic silent challenges out of our systems. Amen? Okay. Substance abuse. This includes a lot of things. I know it says in there alcohol, drugs, prescriptions, food, etc. You know? I know one person, he's addicted to golf. He's so addicted to golf, he's not going to be able to afford to send his children through college. He spends 3 to 4 days a week on some of the most expensive golf courses in the area. I figure it's like between $20,000 and $30,000 a year he's spending golfing. We'll take that out 10 years. That's $300,000 that he's not doing what he should be doing with it. But he's got an addiction to something. Okay? But because it's not one of the known addictions, it's no problem. It's an unknown sin. Well, he's got a real challenge. It's going to come back to bite him in the future if he doesn't get it corrected. Amen? Okay. Works of darkness, Satanism, witchcraft, human animal blood sacrifices, Ouija boards. Many kids did that when they were younger. Astrology, fortune telling, palm reading, black white magic, tarot cards, etc. These are all sins. Now, G, words against yourself, against others, cursing against you, satanic covenants and vows. People are way too free with their tongues. And that goes both from our tongues to people speaking over us. You ever anybody say the words, not me, but somebody else say, I'm going to kill you or I could kill you? Well, they're cursing somebody, right? Or you ever say, oh, you're killing me, right? They're killing, they're cursing themselves, you know. We got to be careful. And if somebody speaks something over you, be sure to cancel, make it null and void right away. We'll talk a little bit more about it later, okay? All right, section E, the process to restoring fellowship. To restore fellowship with God, the process starts with washing down ourselves of known sins and unknown sins by confessing sins, repenting of sins, receiving forgiveness for sins. We call that mnemonic CRR for confess, repent, and receive. You see number one there is confess. Agree with God's word that the action is sinful, okay? If you confess your sins, it's the first part of getting rid of it. So if somebody has a challenge, they have, say, stolen something, say, Heavenly Father, they need to repent of stealing, okay? Whatever it is. Turn your back on the sin by making a commitment in your heart not to do it again. And three, receive and accept forgiveness for your sins. Three is a very important part. Many people carry guilt around for way too long. Many people don't receive their forgiveness for your sins. It's in the past. It's done. Jesus died on the cross for them, okay? So CR would represent all three, confess, repent, and receive. You need to practice confess, repenting, and receiving daily, okay? Now, the remedy is number one, confess, repent, and receive your sins frequently. Pastor Josh tries to do it every 15 minutes. I try to do it every hour. I'm not up to his level yet, but we're getting there, okay? Confess after every known sin. Confess for every holy interaction, such as communion, tithing, affirmations, prayer, talking to God, reading your Bible. I was taking a test one time, and it was a 7-hour test. And about every 10 minutes, I'd stop and confess my sins. I passed that test in under 4 hours with a very high grade. Because by confessing my sins, I kept my mind clear and focused. And it was like I could see the trick words in bold as I was doing this test. Why? Because my mind was clear. The devil couldn't use any confusion on me. So, confess unknown sins after some defined period of elapsed time during which you are not aware of committing any sins. And that's why if I don't know I've committed any sins, I still confess sins and want to get rid of them. Okay? Now, here are some sample prayers in G. Known sins. You do this only if you've just done the sin. We don't confess sins we did 10 years ago. Okay? Unless this is the first time you're confessing it. You don't confess the same sin a second time. If you've done something again, you confess it. Example, if I was speeding this morning and I confessed my sin over it, it's done. I don't have to go back and confess it again. If I was speeding this morning and confessed my sin, that's done. But if I was speeding again today on the way home, that's the second time. I've got to confess that sin because it's the second recurrence. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Okay? You've got to be very clear on these things. You don't want to be confessing sins for something you haven't done. That's an open door to the enemy. Okay? So known sins. In the name of Jesus, I confess my sin. Let's say this together here. Okay? These are for known sins. If you know you did a sin. In the name of Jesus, I confess my sin of... Now, feel free to whisper any sin that you know you've done right there. Nobody needs to hear it but God. Okay. I repent of this sin, and I receive my forgiveness. I thank you, Father, for forgiving me of my sin and cleansing me from all unrighteousness. Okay. That's when you've done a sin that you know. Okay. Now, if you're doing it because you haven't done it for a while and it's not a sin, you got to be very careful. We do not repent of unknown sins. So let's go read this one here. Number two, unknown sins. In the name of Jesus, I am not aware of any known sins, but I receive forgiveness for all unknown sins because you have cleansed me from all unrighteousness. Cut these out, put them on a 3x5 card, do them word for word. The teachers here at ABC have painstakingly put these together to make sure that they're the right way, phrased the right way, to do what we need to do without causing any challenges. Now, Pastors Joshua and Sarah are like generals. Pastor Matthew's like a colonel. They've gotten together to work these things out. Pastor Sarah and I are more in the trenches. We deal a lot with mentoring. And what we find with people is that they think they can remember their things. And they say I'm wrong. We go back and say, well, how do you say this? And it's all challenged. They're not doing it right. Well, if you're not doing it right, you're not getting rid of the sins. And you're leaving a hook in there for the enemy to pull at somebody. Okay? Do these word for word. There are certain things you need to do exactly. Follow the recipe. The recipe works. I'm going to stress this again. We see too many people trying to wing it. You don't want the pilot coming in not doing exactly the way he wants to land the plane. You don't want him winging it. Okay? Don't wing your prayers. Make sure you're doing them exactly right. Okay? All right. So this is what's new for the study today. This is in section H. Okay? We're going to break the power of sin. There are four steps to removing curses and the impact of your life. The first is to repent. We're talking about this over again, but it's important. Repenting sins by confessing them to God in the name of Jesus, determining your heart never to commit that sin again. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you never commit that sin again. Okay? When you repent of a sin, it means that from your heart, you truly do not want to do it anymore. Now, for example, if there's somebody out there and this person is cheating on his wife, and he says, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. But 2 weeks later, he's gone back. And his heart hasn't changed. Okay? He really hasn't been forgiven because he hasn't changed his heart. Okay? We must work to change our hearts. Now, I'm not saying we can't have challenges. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying we've got to be perfect every time afterwards. But your heart motive is so important here. What's in your heart? God knows what's in your heart. Some people have an addiction to something and they really want to change. They slip up. That's a mistake. We can work with that. But their heart change has to be real. Okay? If someone commits a sin and knows that he or she is not supposed to do it besides do it anyway, thinking God will forgive him or her, that is not true repentance. There's a big doctrine out there that says whatever you've done has been forgiven already. People take this to mean they can do whatever they want to do. I don't believe that for a second. I believe that you're forgiven of your sins, but you're still responsible for your actions. The person goes out there and commits murder, he can ask God for forgiveness, he'll be forgiven, but he's still responsible for his actions. I want that to soak in. We live in a world today where people don't want to be responsible for their actions. And that's what the media is putting out there, and it's a challenge. People are having abortions because they want to have the pleasure but don't want the responsibility of their challenges, of their actions. Okay? Yes, if they've had an abortion, they can be forgiven, they can be cleansed. But if their intent is to go out there and play around and not be responsible, they're going to have challenges. Okay? I love homosexual people. I don't like their sin. I have no problem with the people. But they are responsible for their actions, no matter what they try to tell me, how it's okay. At some point, they're going to have to be responsible for that. If the world doesn't do it here, then when the time is to come meet Jesus, they'll have to be responsible for it. Amen? We're responsible for our actions. Okay? Be forgive. In the name of Jesus, forgive yourself and every person who's participated in the sin, been affected directly or indirectly through their sin. In the name of Jesus, remove any negative spiritual bondage which your sin may have produced in their lives. Okay, when forgiving person, you got to forgive everyone. Also forgive yourself. I'm going to stress this again. Forgive yourself. You're making a clean break. You're like the thief on the cross next to Jesus. He was receiving his forgiveness so he could go to paradise with Jesus. If he didn't receive his forgiveness, he wouldn't have gone. He asked God to forgive him. He took it. He got it. We must forgive ourselves, okay? That's a terrible trap that the devil has for us. Yes, well, 25 years ago, you made this mistake. You know, it's gone. It's done. Okay? Most people repent and forgive, and then your fellowship is restored. And people stop there. We need to get rid of that snail trail here at ABC. We want to get rid of all the curses following behind the sin, okay? Repenting and forgiving restores your fellowship with God. Renouncing and breaking stops the attack of the enemy, okay? In order to get rid of the curses, you must renounce. Renounce the demonic spirits behind that sin. In the name of Jesus, declare that you remove their legal right to ever operate in your life based on that sin, because that sin has been forgiven by your Heavenly Father. Then there are no longer any hooks for the demons or devils or evil spirits to hang on to after you repent, forgive, and renounce. Now, you'll be able to break every curse connected with that sin. And that's the next one. D is break. Pray as follows. In the name of Jesus, I break every curse which has been operating in my life because of that sin. From this moment forward, these curses and memories of that sin will never again return to me nor affect me in any way. The memory part is important. Satan's very good about reminding you of your sins. Yeah. You need to remind him that you're forgiven of those sins. Yeah. It doesn't matter, okay? All right. Okay, number two. A holy lifestyle is crucial for preventing demons from reentering your life. Be alert for recurring temptations. They often come very quickly. Okay? After you realize you've sinned, repent immediately. Jesus said, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come to you. So I'm going to read John 5, 1 through 14. After there was a feast of the Jews, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called Hebrew, Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool, stood up the water. Whoever stepped in first after stirring the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now, can you imagine that? There's 1,000 people around and one person is going to get healed. Think that's not a fight to get into that pool? Okay. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. While I'm coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Jesus bypassed the pool. He didn't say, go down to the pool with my agreement. He bypassed the pool. Jesus said, it's done. Okay. Immediately a man was made well, took up his bed, and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. Now think about this. Guy's been on a bed for 38 years, and they're giving him a hard time because he's doing it on the Sabbath. Is that legalism? No, go back and be sick for another, you know, that's ridiculous. You know. And he responded to him, he, I love this part, he, not you who made me well, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. The guy who made me well, I'm listening to him. You guys don't count anymore. He said, take up your bed and walk. I'm doing it. Get out of my way. Then they asked him, who is this man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, and a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see that you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Okay? Be careful. We don't want the worsers coming on us. Okay? So once you've repented, forgiven, renounced, and broken the curses, you need to follow up with a change of heart and lifestyle, which is living a holy lifestyle, so those demons won't have any more access to your life as you have been restored fellowship of God. I'm not saying you got to be perfect, but I'm saying you must turn away from those challenges. If a person has an alcoholic challenge, don't even go down the alcoholic aisle in the grocery store. Okay? If a person has any other problem, don't go there. Stay away from it. Don't fantasize the thoughts. Don't let the mind get pulled back into it slowly, a little bit at a time. Be careful of the little tricks that the Satan will put on you to make you go back into something. Maybe he wants you to tell a little white lie. You think, well, that's okay, I can repent of it. No. Our lifestyle is holy now. Now, you may make a mistake. That's fine. We can cover that with prayer. But be careful of your heart style, okay? All right. Now, if you still feel bad, it's probably the devil trying to put guilt and condemnation on you. The devil's tempting you to feel that way. Just tell the devil to get out and leave you alone, because no legal right to operate in you anymore. No guilt, no condemnation. You've been freed of all these chains by the blood of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. No guilt. Get rid of it. If guilt comes in, cast it out. Get rid of the guilt. Look yourself in the mirror. Stand up tall. Say, you know what? I don't feel bad about that. That's in the sea of forgetfulness now. I've already been repented of that. I've been forgiven of that. I can walk up straight with pride, not pride, with honor, because I no longer have that sin in my life. Jesus paid the price for it. And when Satan tries to collect on the debt, you say, that debt's been paid for. But you owe this, you did this. No, that debt's been paid for by somebody else. Okay? If you owed $100 million, and the debt collector comes up and says, you got to pay me that $100 million. And a very wealthy man walks by and says, here's $100 million. He's free. He doesn't know it anymore. You don't owe me that money. It's my gift to you. That debt is paid. That bill collector tries to come back and say, I want my $100 million. No, that debt's been paid. That debt's been paid. I don't have to pay to you. I don't have to answer to you anymore. That debt has been paid. B, treat all temptations as sin. Confess, repent, renounce, and break. Now, CRRB is the new way we say this. We want to get the breaking in. You're now at the level where you can start breaking these things off of yourselves, okay? All right? Now, let's talk about a few testimonies here. Let's put this in perspective. There was a person who was in pain, serious challenge of pain, and they came in and they couldn't figure out what the answer was. Pastor Joshua walked by and says, what's going on here? So we've been praying for this person who's had all this pain. He's okay, let's rewind the video. When did the pain start? Did you have pain when you came into church? No. Okay. When did you have pain? Oh, was it this point? As soon as we saw what the point was, we saw where the offense was. Once we found out where the offense was, we could confess the offense, get rid of it, and that person was healed. No more pain. Okay? All right? There was a man raised in poverty. He had a lot of siblings. He grew up saying, I don't never want to have any kids. Once he was married, he couldn't have kids. This was an unknown sin. He'd forgotten he said that all those years ago. Okay. When in process they found out he had said that, they canceled, made null and void those words. They broke that curse off of his life, and his wife was pregnant very quickly. There was a person who was afraid to cross bridges. In fact, she was so afraid to go out of her house at first. And as they worked on the different fears and phobias that she had, she eventually was able to get out of her house. She had a fear of water. She had a fear of heights, if I remember correctly the story. And when she called Pastor Josh to help her at that time, she was on top of a very high bridge. Out of the house, over water, high. All three fears broken. These things work, people. They work if you work them. My father is 98 years old. He's going to be 99 April 1st. We taught him the basics of this years ago. And because he does his prayers daily, he's having a wonderful, honorable senior life. He walks up to people at bowling alley and starts praying with them, and they get healed right there. He's a wonderful man with a good heart. And you know, that's all God really needs is somebody with a good heart. And the boldness to go up and do something. And God will do the rest. Okay? All right. Now, for those of you who might remember, you're supposed to bring a list of sins to tonight's meeting. If you don't, we're going to take a few minutes. I want you to think about a few sins that you need to confess. We're going to do a little sample here. And we're going to pair up in pairs here. And looks like we're in pretty good shape. Bill, I know your son's not into this. So if you would pray with Cecil, okay? All right? You two ladies pray together. You two are a couple. You're fine. You're a couple. Fine. You two guys can pray together. And Deborah and Yoel can pray together. Tony and Beth can pray together. And if you three can kind of work it out amongst yourselves, pray. And for those of you who are at home, if you're alone, then the Holy Spirit will be your prayer partner tonight. Okay? So let's take a couple minutes, and I want you to think about any sins that you may have so we can confess these and work on them. Okay? Yes, please move now and get in position. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now you'll see on your outline a sample prayer for breaking curses. Pastor Karen and I do this on a regular basis. And the turnaround in our lives has been exceptional since we've been doing this. All right, so repeat after me, please, okay? Now, when you're calling out your sins, just speak to the Holy Spirit in a quiet voice. Okay, this is no time for, we don't, you know, just whisper it out so only the Holy Spirit hears it. You don't need to be embarrassed by anything you're talking about here, okay? So in the name of Jesus, I repent of the sin of, and then go ahead and name whatever it is that you're dealing with. Okay. So now, you go down to the next level. One of you is going to say it, and the partner is going to say, I agree with you in the name of Jesus. Then the second person is going to say it, and that partner is going to say, I agree with you in the name of Jesus. Do you follow me? We'll do this in a second here. Right. I was going to read one. Okay. So, okay. First one to go, just pick one of the partners, say, in the name of Jesus, I forgive every person from my heart who has participated in this sin or caused me to sin or been affected by this sin. Then you agree with your partner. Say, I agree with you in the name of Jesus. Excellent. The agreement in the name of Jesus is so strong, so powerful when you're doing this. Okay. Now, number three, in the name of Jesus, I renounce Satan, every demon, devil, and evil spirit behind these sins. Okay, now you say, I agree with you in the name of Jesus to your partner. The Bible says we're two more agree in Jesus' name, it shall be done. Okay, we're standing on that verse right now. Okay, number four, in the name of Jesus, I take away the legal right of Satan. Every demon, devil, and evil spirit, to operate on me, my body or my life, because of this sin. Say, I agree with you in the name of Jesus. Okay. So you're breaking off Satan's right to do anything with you. Okay. Number five, in the name of Jesus, I break every ungodly soul tie. To this sin, to every person, and spiritual being, connected to, or behind this sin, and say, I agree with you in the name of Jesus. Okay, now when you, now Satan can't come back to you and tell you about your past. The person that caused a challenge in your life can't come back to you because it's broken in the name of Jesus. Okay. Number six, in the name of Jesus, I break every curse, every vow, every covenant, every contract, every hold, every hook, every connection to evil, resulting from these sins. You say, I agree with you in the name of Jesus. Number seven,
in the name of Jesus,
I've been set free,
free
by Jesus Christ.
By Jesus Christ.
Men say he, women say she.
She
sets free, is free indeed. I agree with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Who feels better right now? You feel that peace in here? I hope everybody in here now. Are you feeling that peace right now? Okay, we just broke connections off of all demons, devils, evil spirits attacking everybody here. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You'll see a summary version there. I'm just going to read it for you. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent of all my sins. Naming the sin just committed, I turn my back on them. In the name of Jesus, I forgive every person who's participating in these sins or caused by sin or been affected by these sins. In the name of Jesus, I renounce Satan and every demon, devil, and evil spirit behind these sins. I take away the legal right to influence me because of these sins. In the name of Jesus, I break every ungodly soul tie, connects to these sins, to the demons, devils, and evil spirits behind them. Put that on a card. or for you who use electronics, somewhere in your phone, and read that periodically throughout the day when you're doing your unknown sins. And you will see a change in your life. Doors opening up. Blessings of heaven flowing through.
When you do your known sins.
When you do your known sins. Okay. You'll see a change in your life and blessings poured upon you in Jesus' name. Okay. I'd like to pray for everybody right now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise, worship, I glorify your holy name. I know this is a very in-depth teaching, but it's so strong and so powerful. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help reach everybody, both here and on the internet, or whoever sees this in the future, over the web, that they receive the importance of this message and understand how important it is to keep themselves cleansed of demonic attachments periodically throughout the day, and how important it is to keep those demons off of them and stay out of the traps and snares that are coming, and that it is work, but that it's very, very effective, and it will lift them out of the challenges in their life in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, doing this is like somebody wants to get healthy. You can't go to the gym once and become like Schwarzenegger in his day. It's a lot of dedication. It's a lot of work. It's continuous. But you need to do it. Because we all want to be ready when Jesus returns. In Jesus' name. Yes?
Do we get to do our group scout and do the lists?
Well, we just did it generally together. Well, I just did that.
So I'm not going to do that.
We're not going to do that. No. Okay. So, thank you all. Good night. I didn't explain that last page too well. So we were asked some questions. Let me go through it a little bit more. Go back to the sample prayer for breaking curses. You'll see the first line, you're going to repent of your sin. You're going to list out your sins. You're going to speak them out loud. And the person you're with is going to hear what sins you're talking about. In the group setting here, I told them not to do it out loud because they may not know that person very well. We're just doing a practice run here. Then you go down and read number 2, where you forgive every person from your heart. And then the partner says, I agree with you in the name of Jesus. Then your partner does it, and you say, I agree with you in the name of Jesus. Then we do number 3 the same way, number 4 the same way, number 5 the same way. So after every one, we're going to say, I agree with you in the name of Jesus. And the partner is going to say, after saying that part of the prayer, I agree with you in the name of Jesus. Thereby pulling the unity of the Holy Spirit in, making sure that you really receive your forgiveness and break off those demonic attachments the devil's trying to put on you. Does that make that a little more clear for everybody? Okay. If you're home alone, the Holy Spirit is with you, and the Holy Spirit will agree with you in Jesus' name. Amen? Okay. Thank you.